Hola, ¿qué tal? Hey, happy to be in Baltimore. What's up? John Waters. Who else is from here? Louis Black, right? So I'm a fan. So I came all the way up from Arlington, Virginia. It's a weird place. I'm originally from Houston, Texas. What's up? Okay. So I'm originally from H-Town, and Arlington's weird. Culture in Arlington is basically what you find at the bottom of a yogurt cup. People are just really, really into fitness. So there goes. But yeah, I'm impressed by the region. I relocated here 9 years ago. I was in Ohio for a splash, 6 years. So I relocated here, and I was just impressed by the saturation of Salvadorans in this area. And so, just so you know, my parents are both from El Salvador. They made it here in the late 70s to get escape the Civil War. You may not clap later, but yeah, my dad was a terrible drug dealer. He couldn't sell pot to the biggest pothead. Got high on his own supply, basically. So he dipped out when I was 12. On the other hand, my mom, who crossed the border twice, and that's like more than, you know, what Mexicans cross, who cross like three, she crossed it twice on foot getting here. So out came me. I was born in Phoenix, Arizona, lived in California, Washington State, lived in a car for 2 weeks. So that's how we rolled. But yeah, I grew up in Houston, really. Where this is the where you know Texas used to be Mexico, right? So being you when you can't beat them, you join them basically. But my mom, in her case though, what was weird is I considered myself in my formative years culturally homeless, right? She didn't have any Salvadoran nothing in the house. No trinkets, no wooden machete, we weren't no pupusas, you know, like it wasn't a big deal. She's basically, to me, a Mexican woman and a Mexican in a Salvadoran woman's body. So we came to accept that, and it got weird because, you know, Houston's very diverse. I mean, I had friends from Laos, Vietnam growing up, and so it was weird. I asked her, why don't we have anything in the house? You know, why aren't you proud of it? My Mexican friends, on the other hand, who are from, you know, Chihuahua, Monterrey. So I had a lot of friends from Mexico and stuff. So I didn't understand why we didn't have that pride. And so she said, well, Salvador didn't do anything for me. That's why I'm here. And I'm like, whoa, yo, that's deep. So, yo, I won't try to get into that, you know, because she's done enough in her life to do the best for us. So yeah, I was culturally homeless. I got along to get along. You know, at some point, you just start embracing it. I knew more about Benito Juarez. I knew about the peso crisis. That was my econ 101 in the early 90s. So I just started to embrace it. And then I went to the Chicano Mecca of Texas, which is Austin. So I'm also a Longhorn, so very happy to be there. It was very empowering. They were getting rid of dismantling affirmative action at the time. We were having a lot of sit-ins. It was a great time to just be active. So I got involved with Mecha, which is a student group, and they're everywhere in California, most predominantly Southwest. But I would do the sun salutation. I just started, at this point, I wasn't just, you know, joining them just to not get my ass kicked. I was just appreciating what it is to be having the Mexican experience in Texas, or the Chicano experience, really. So it was all amazing. So I became empowered, and even more interesting, I got to delve into what was my, I noticed my, realized my indigenous side, my warrior side, if you will. So I was really empowered by that. I was just visualizing my ancestors running through green pastures, uninterrupted, unspoiled land, you know, eating off the fat of the land. So it was all empowering to me at that time. And then it just, like, I got woke. It all started making sense, right? I was vertically challenged. I had a flat nose. I had National Geographic titties. So all those women and the National Geographic magazine, I was like, yo, that's so me, like my banana, everything. I just started to appreciate it. So I embraced that. It was empowering. But at some point, you got to pick a side, right? So I ended up in Ohio. My husband, you got to. So I was happy to cross the Mason-Dixon line, right? So I was happy to be up north. My husband got a research position at Ohio State, so we were there for a couple of years. And so all of a sudden, like, I would just start going to hang out with the Mexicans just because it made me feel comfortable. Went to soccer games. It was just helping me through this transition, right? It was a cultural thing that was new to me, being from the South, going up north. So, but what I noticed is that people couldn't figure out what I was. You know, I would go to an Asian market, and they're like, your mama half Chinese, right? You half Chinese, right? No, I'm not. Thank you. But if it'll get me a discount, I'll be whatever you want. So that was Ohio. They, you know, it got really weird. No one could figure it out. The Mexicans, even the splash of Salvadorans I would find, totally suspicious of who I was. She's weird. She talks Spanish, but not Salvadoran Spanish and not really real Mexican Spanish. So, but I made it work out. And then I ended up in VA, as they say, land of Missy Elliott, Pharrell Williams. I love it. I got to embrace that. I was excited about that. So it got even more ambiguous. Now the Salvadorans can't trust me. Totally suspicious. No, you're Peruvian. And I would have to just have an argument. I'm like, you know, the bartender, I'm like, okay, yo, I'm Salvadoran. You don't believe me? He's like, no. I'm like, okay, well, if I tip you 10 cents, you'll believe I'm Salvadoran, right? And that's right. He's like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, because we're terrible tippers. We're terrible tippers, just so you know. So it was just the ambiguity of it all. So at this point, I'm excited in this time of my life. You know, I don't have to blend in, and I can appreciate everyone for who they are. You know, ethnic ambiguity is awesome. You know, taxi drivers think I'm Ethiopian, depending how straight my hair is. So it kind of just all worked out. But you know, meanwhile, I was excited about maybe understanding the Salvadoran experience in this area. I called my mom, like, when I was here 9 years ago when I first landed. I'm like, Mom, you won't believe, at the bus stop, there's so many Salvadorans. Oh, my God. You can hear it at the bus stop, at any intersection. Esto no sirve. Se te ven las nalgas. You know, they have that really Caribbean, like, their tongue is, like, just sticking out of their mouth accent. So I was really excited about it, and I was wondering how my mom felt about this, that I was getting excited about it. And so she's like, Mija, I left El Salvador so I didn't have to see them there. Why would I want to see them in D.C.? And that's just how deep that hate runs. And I just want to say, I don't think she was being malicious, honestly, as I, you know, look at it now, you know, with everything that's gone on in my life and my experiences. I think really because of where she came from, right? The Civil War was so bad. It just didn't matter whether you were for the government or against the government, right? You got killed. So she always hated the fact that I always had something to say about President Bush at the time, because I would protest the mansion when I was a college student, when he was our governor in Texas. So she always despised that stuff. And so then I just came to understand she was just really trying to protect me, because sometimes these affiliations, they can just go the wrong way. And again, you just never know. And for her, it was a matter of life and death, you know, whether you pick a side or just stay neutral, you know, like Switzerland in some ways. But yeah, so I didn't get mad at her for that. So at the end of the day, I'll just say that, you know, I think while she really raised me to survive and not succeed necessarily, I think all of us in some way want to survive in our relationships, in love. And so I think for me, creating the family I never had because of our hard situation in life, I hope that I succeed in that. So thank you guys for having me. I hope you have a good time. and I'll see you around.